Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. On a Thursday, I'm Jim Costa with John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov, and Greg behind the glass. We are loaded on a Thursday, where we have the Thursday touchdown coming up at 6:35. We're going to mix in a little bit, not too much, but a little bit of Red Wing hockey. We didn't get to them because of this whole playoff baseball run, but they're back on the ice tonight. We'll work them in. We got the two Grand Slam. We have a bunch to get through. Dear John later in the show on a Thursday. And of course, the latest update on the Detroit Lions and their pursuit of a pass rusher. But John, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
Good.
It's good to see you guys this morning.
Yeah.
How was you guys Wednesday? Eventful or?
You know.
Just hum-ho.
What does you know
hum?
Just momming.
Yeah.
Just momming.
I'm guessing one of my children didn't take a nap. And, you know, so I had that going on during the day.
Yep. Did you get your nap?
I did get my nap in. I did. I did.
So you were in a good mood in the evening?
Yes.
You got your rest?
Yeah, I tried to get a little extra sleep. Because I think
throw fit when your wife cooked you dinner?
Are you comparing me to one of your children?
Yes, yes.
Exactly, yes, yes. You are a work child.
Well, okay. I suppose there's some truth to that. I'll own that. No, I mean, I don't know if you could tell. We're all battling. Most people battle in this cold that's going around a little bit.
It's
you know?
So weird.
I know.
It's one of those things, like you wake up in the morning and you got a little bit of a scratchy throat, maybe a little bit of a clogged up, you know, sinuses.
Yeah, weather changes.
You get rocking and rolling during the day and it kind of just goes away. And then you lay down at night and same thing happens the next morning. Like, come on.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Did you turn the heater on yet? Is it working?
The heater does work.
Okay.
We did turn it on.
Yes. Yes.
Everybody has to have right now, right?
Well.
You guys not turned your heat on?
We turned it on.
It's 30 degrees out in the morning.
I know. It's beautiful.
You got a toddler at home.
Yeah,
but keep him warm.
Yeah,
just extra blankets.
He runs hot.
Okay.
So yeah, we did finally last night, and I'm curious if that is because I did check the humidifier, all that stuff.
Yep.
It was all working, but I don't know. The first time you turn it on, it kind of just still feels like everything is a little dry. Mm. So
I feel like we skipped over the best part, which is early fall. I feel like we just are now into
we had a beautiful fall.
We had hot.
It was hot,
summer.
And then all of a sudden it was like 36.
Yeah,
what?
We didn't get I wanted 60.
Whoa, I agree. Whoa, so did
whoa,
I.
We did.
No,
where were you
no.
guys?
It was hot,
Jonathan.
And then cold.
What are you calling a hot? It hasn't been 80 degrees.
It was like degrees. Upper 70s, right?
I wanted low 60s for like
me
a
too.
3 week stretch, and we didn't get it.
You're going to be back there on Monday. It's going to be low 70s, okay. Upper 60s. You'd be just fine. My gosh, I can't believe this. Greg?
Look out for Kentucky.
Your mic's not on.
What?
Still can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Oh. All right.
There we go.
Program
the buttons.
Here we go. Look out for Kentucky. There's no dominant team in college basketball.
Are these like talking points every year? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
When the weather just switched.
Oh, we just went right from summer right to winter. Things we say every year, and we just say them.
But I'm not.
I think we had a wonderful fall. Yes, thank you, John.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was hot. It was beautiful, but it wasn't fall. It didn't feel like the crisp, kind of cool, kind of warm. It was just hot, or it was really cold.
And then we'll get to February. Izzo's done. March 13th, yes. Last snow, Doug Karsh.
Yes.
No, seriously, though, the forecast next week is outstanding.
It is.
A great stretch of fall weather, and that will be known as Guardian Summer.
What do you mean, Guardian Summer?
Because you can't say Indian Summer. Come on.
You just said, sorry.
Come on, get woke.
Sorry, John. It's not on my P's and Q's. No, you know what it is? It's because we get up so early, we see the coldest part of the day. Later today is going to be in the 60s and 70s, and everything will be right in the world. Okay.
We'll see.
Okay. Quick note on Michigan State. Because their athletic director, Alan Haller, came out, and he is quoted in the Detroit News, and he says, enough is enough. And John, I agree with him. He's talking about their schedule. Michigan State is going to play a night game this week, a night game next week, they'll have played six of their first eight games at night and five consecutive night games. He says, I'm a fan. I get it. But enough is enough with these night games. Are you with Michigan State's athletic director?
100%. And I don't like night games to begin with, but I do understand the prime time, all the things that come along with it. It's the visibility. It's the, you know, for the athletes, for the program, it's recruiting. But there's got to be a limit, because it's especially for college football fans where you have people coming from, and I know he mentioned this, like a 4-hour radius.
Yep.
You drive in, you go to the game, and a lot of people will drive. I know, just speaking from experience, there's a lot of people that will drive from Chicago to Ann Arbor to see the game and then drive back to Chicago. Mm-hmm. It's almost impossible to do that when you have a night game. You could maybe do it once, but five in a row, and I know they're not all home games, but it's miserable.
I mean, there are people who drive to East Lansing from Metro Detroit, and that's normally an hour drive, but with game day traffic, it's closer to two. And then that doesn't even factor in people coming from other parts of the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, 4 hours is probably on the more extreme side, but there are people who make that drive to East Lansing or Ann Arbor. John, you're right. What my thing is, night games are supposed to be special. To me, they're unique. You play one or two under the lights, big spotlight.
Yeah.
And Michigan State's playing Iowa this week at night. They're playing Michigan, who's not vintage Michigan. They've played Boston College at mm-hmm. night. They're going to play, I think it's seven total night games this season, because they still have Purdue later in the year. Seven's overkill to me. You still do want some of those suns out tailgate Saturdays, and MSU's only going to have a few. It's fleeting.
Yeah.
Night games should be reserved for the special games of the year, not every single week, five consecutive weeks for the Spartans.
Well, they've been maxed out. So, at least, I mean, Indiana, Illinois, and I believe the Rutgers game is who they finish with.
They have to be noon or 3:30.
No more Land-Grant Trophy, right?
Oh, yeah, no Penn State.
Yeah, they're going to have to be noon or 3:30. So, you know you're going to have day games at that point. But, I mean, I'm curious, Spartan fans, is there anybody out there that loves the fact that they've had so many night games? I don't know that I've run into any of them. That one or two premier matchups, that's fine. But to have seven in a 12-game schedule is ridiculous.
The limit is five conference games at night.
Correct.
But because MSU chooses to open on a Friday night, and because Boston College doesn't count towards that, that's how you get to seven. That's more than half the games.
But I know that Michigan State has kind of made this little tradition of opening up on Friday nights, and I kind of like it.
Me too.
It's, you know, I'm not a Spartan fan, but I'm a college football fan, and to be able to see a Big Ten team open up on Friday night, one that's in the state, I think it's awesome.
Because you know what it is we get excited for football season, and they let you open a present a day early.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody else has got Saturday. MSU goes, Christmas Eve, you can open up a present. Yeah. And I like it because everybody's anticipating the return of football.
And it's always that kind of, you know, what are we going to see this year? It was the coming out party for Kenneth Walker. And when he was, I think it was Northwestern.
It was Northwestern, yeah.
And you get a chance to see something special, something unique, and see what's going to happen for the rest of the year. So I love the first, you know, voluntary, we're going to move this one to Friday night and play at night. But the rest of them, my goodness. Six more?
Like, imagine your team is going to play in a given year six, seven home games. MSU's only going to have two or three at, you know, with the sun out.
Right. Yes. And if it's a 3:30, it's not going to be sun out the whole time.
Right. The variety of college football, yeah. Right? Like noon kicks, 3:30 kicks, and then select games, night games. In fact, it's the opposite for MSU. It's night games with select day games.
Yes.
It feels like we're all upside down in college football.
Well, hopefully they can have a noon kick with a 62, 65, whatever you guys think is appropriate.
Ideal
fall
weather.
Yes.
That would be nice. Yes, of course. Thank you, Heather.
A light jacket.
Yes.
Yeah, like I like.
Speaking from a Spartans perspective.
Yeah.
Well, we know that you would tailgate these games.
Yes.
So what was your optimal tailgate time? Would you like a night game?
Oh, I liked night games, but sometimes...
Yeah, but you never made it to the game.
But that's probably why I never made it to the game, is because I was tailgating all day, right?
Like, yep, party hard.
Sometimes too hard, yes.
Yeah, hey, look, listen, a college student waking up early No, it's not going to happen. That's why the night games are better for the tailgating.
I liked waking up early. Well, I lived in a sorority. We would like blare an alarm and we'd all get up early and then you'd go to the frat and then you'd like jump. You'd go tailgating and you had like the pool of beer.
The pool of beer.
Yeah, you'd bring like a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
Fill it with some ice.
Okay.
Not the beer that you swim in, but the tap.
Yeah.
That was
the one full with mud, right?
No, John. Didn't exist.
248-539-9797. If you're a Spartan fan up early with us this morning, your AD has said, enough is enough. Five straight night games, six of the first eight. Does it bother you at all? We've got the Thursday touchdown at 6:35, and we'll give you an update. Lions reaching out about a pass rusher. We have reports. It's 97.1.
Hey, when I needed a new furnace and AC, I called the guys at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They've got all the best equipment and prices. You want to add value to your home? My wife and I are putting the house on the market, and it is a great added value. But I think the biggest difference is their customer service. That's a 5-year warranty that comes along with it. Call Mastercraft for your heat, AC, plumbing, and electrical. They even offer generators. Tell them John Jansen sent you for up to $500 off fast insulation. And you want to talk about fast? They offer same-day service. You want to find more information? You can do that on the web at mastercraftheating.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Enough is enough, according to the Michigan State Athletic Director, Alan Haller. Night game after night game after night game. It'll be five in a row after this week and next week's games. Six of the first eight. We asked Spartan fans, what do you think? The night games are cool, but when it's every week, Texter says, it gets colder than Antarctica in East Lansing at night, John, in Lake Orion. No, I don't like all these night games.
Yeah.
MSU alumni here, night games are the best because you can tailgate and drink all day. Once the game is done, you head straight to Harper's. I miss college.
Yeah, well, I guess you, you can't drink all day unless you start in the morning.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Other than the fact that my wife is a Michigan fan and I'm a State fan and being able to watch both games, no, I loathe all of these night games. Signed, Brian, on the ticket text.
On the flip side, like, I have enjoyed the fact that Michigan State has had these night games because, like that ticket texter said, you get a chance to watch some of the other noon games, the 3:30 games, and you can turn the Spartans on at night.
Night also tends to be when they put good games too, though. And now you're
I'm always flipping
over.
To
yeah,
them.
Yeah, I know. This one says teams that suck like Michigan State are lucky to even be televised.
Everyone's televised.
Night games, Spartans might be trying to broaden their brand across the western half of the United States. Signed, Al, Spartan class of 97.
Well, that's the benefit of having a night game, is they are nationally televised. And you, I mean, whether it's a Big Ten network, any network, you're at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, you're going to be on coast to coast, and it does help with recruiting. It helps with visibility.
This week, for example, it's NBC, right? It's the Saturday night big presentation for NBC against Iowa. So that is national
TV. Which one of them was on Peacock? That's the only one that I whenever you're on Peacock, like was
Boston it, College maybe?
Was it BC? Or was it the Maryland?
OSU.
Game? OSU was. Oh, it was right. exclusively to Peacock.
Yeah, that's the one where I'm like, you know what? Because you don't just get the easy flip over.
Yeah, you kind of
get the spinning wheel.
Go through the apps and back out and click back in. Yeah.
We got another text that came in that I think they made kind of an interesting point to support night games. Like, once you're older and you have a family and you're obligated to do things with your kids during the day, the night game can be a good thing because you've got to take care of all this stuff. Maybe you take care of your chores, the things that didn't get done during the week, the kids to the games. And now with the Lions, just really, you've got to be dedicated on Sunday to them, and the NFL being so big in general.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not a bad thing. I still don't like them. What I would like to see is that anything important starts by 7 o'clock. Like, I'm really done with it by 10:45, 11. And I hate when games linger on.
Yeah.
And I noticed last week, was it Colorado and Kansas State had a 10 o'clock start?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
It's absurd. And when I do get the point of when your kids, like Jack, he's at the age now in the last year with the Steelers where he's playing his games at 4 o'clock on Saturdays. Prior to that is either a noon start or a 2 o'clock start. And if we had a 7:30 or 8 o'clock game, that was the only chance I had I could actually watch him play.
Right.
And so I get that. You could do all the kids events and then still get to your, you know, your college football game.
Quick note on the Lions. There is an update as they continue to try and find a pass rusher to replace Aiden Hutchinson. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said the Lions have checked in on Hassan Reddick's situation per a source. Could be just diligence, but Dan Campbell promised that GM Brad Holmes is doing his homework and appears to be the case here. Brad Campbell is the brain trust.
Yes, that's the Bennifer.
Yeah.
The Quintricia,
stop. No.
Why would you... I mean, today was going so well. I mean, we got to give credit to somebody, right?
John, you have been hesitant. I would be open to Hassan Reddick on one condition.
Yeah.
That there is no contract extension. And that may be the sticking point that prevents a deal being done. But John, if he was willing to come here on a spotlight prove it situation where he's going to come here and earn his next contract, whether it's with Detroit or on the open market, then yeah, you welcome him with open arms. But this is a rental in my mind, and I would not be giving him guaranteed extension money via this trade, which I know is what he wants. But I think you hold firm on this. You don't want to bring in a guy who's missed 6+ weeks, who wants to get paid, and you don't know how he fits your culture. If he would come here on a mercenary-type deal, just finish out this year, put out a bunch of good tape, help this team chase the Super Bowl, and if you deliver and you fit in, of course we're open to extending you. Yeah, but I don't think you do it before he plays a snap here.
I agree, and I think the only place that he plays right now with an extension is the Jets. And I don't know if new agent Drew Rosenhaus is able to get that extension done with the Jets. So if he's looking around, the perfect fit might actually be the Detroit Lions. If he is going to be that mercenary type of guy, I want to come in 1 year. Because of the teams that might need or would be in the market to give up capital for an edge rusher, how many of them have Super Bowl aspirations? If he just simply wants to say, you know what? I made my decision. I'm going to live with it. I'm going to have to work a little bit to pay some of the fines I've accrued. But along the way, I get a chance to, I didn't have to go to training camp, didn't have to play the first couple of weeks of the season. Now I can just insert myself in a team and possibly win a Super Bowl and then hit the open market.
That's a dream.
It adds more value because then all of a sudden, Aiden Hutchinson goes down. The storyline will be Hassan Reddick saved the defense.
Right. And again, he had double.
I disagree with it, but
whatever. But narratives, agents spin, get paid.
You don't think Rosenhaus will spin that deal?
Hey, if they win the Super Bowl, he can spin it however he wants. 10+ sacks, 4 straight seasons. He was on that Eagles team that had a great pass rush that fell, a play shy of winning a Super Bowl. The guy can play football. I just need to make sure that he's head screwed on straight because that's been an issue so far. 248-539-9797. We got a bunch of football storylines to get to, but first, Heather with the news.
Well, this is sad news for sure. Former One Direction star Liam Payne died yesterday after he fell from a third-floor balcony at a hotel in Argentina. 31 years old. Now, police don't know yet if this fall was an accident or if it was intentional, but there are witnesses who say that he was acting kind of erratically in the lobby prior to the fall. He had smashed his laptop. He had to have help getting back to his room. He was there. He was in Argentina to actually go to a show of his former bandmate, Niall Horan. So he was there for a concert. Yeah. His girlfriend was there with him for a while. She actually went back home before this took place. So she wasn't there with him.
She's from Argentina then?
Or they, I don't think
were they
so.
Living in Argentina?
No, he was just there in Argentina for the show, for this concert, to watch his former bandmate perform. Yeah. His girlfriend went to Argentina with him for a while, and then
she
went
left
back
before the
home.
Show. Okay.
Yeah, so she wasn't there with him during his death.
Yeah.
But he did have some things going on. His ex-girlfriend had filed a restraining order against him recently. She said that he was harassing her. He also had a son, a 7-year-old son. So it's a really sad story, and a lot of celebrities are sharing their condolences and paying tribute online. A road rage incident in Macomb landed one driver behind bars. It all happened on Tuesday in Armada, and police say they found the suspect sitting in the driver's seat of his car, and he had a gun on the front passenger seat. And when police said, time to get out of the car, the guy, the 60-year-old from Smith's Creek, picked up the gun, wasn't cooperating, but he did eventually, when they told him to drop the weapon, he dropped the weapon, but he was arrested for felonious assault and carrying a concealed weapon. Authorities have not said what sparked the actual road rage incident and where it actually took place, but at least they got one of, I'm guessing, the aggressor in that situation. Yeah. This story makes me so sick. A mother and son duo from Genesee County have been arrested and are facing numerous charges after police found 44 neglected dogs and 13 dead dogs in their home over the weekend. Yeah, I'm not going to go into all the detail because you can picture it in your mind. But the police did share all just this horrendous, tragic details during a media briefing on Wednesday. They did note that Patricia Stone and her son Kyle are facing numerous animal cruelty charges. It sounds like they were also living in just a complete hoarder situation. On top of having all of these dogs, there was some sort of breeding situation going on as well. The house is going to be condemned. So there was lots of anger on social media when Netflix didn't release this cult classic sitcom Detroiters when they promised they were going to release it. Netflix had put out this post on social media that Detroiters was going to be released on October 15th, right? People were pumped. But then that post was quickly deleted, and the show also removed it from like Netflix's October release calendar. So it was like just gone, and they didn't give any explanation, and people were so upset. They voiced their frustration online, and maybe it helped because it has been released. It is officially out there.
What's the premise of the show?
I've never seen it, but it's created by Michigan natives, and it sounds like they are best friends who work for this small advertising agency in Detroit. They make commercials for local businesses, but I think that what's people like about it is that there's jokes and humor that really only Michiganders would truly understand. Okay.
Yeah,
right?
Like things tailored to growing up in
Michigan.
Michigan. Yeah. Okay. So it's Sam Richardson, Tim Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen. Have you seen it?
I've seen episodes. Now that it's out, I'll actually try to appreciate it. Yeah.
Especially after seeing this and how many people were so pumped for it and so mad when it didn't show up. Finally, talking about some cold weather, John. The UP has recorded its first measurable snow of the season.
Yeah. Let's go
Winter's
skiing.
Right around the corner.
Got any ice on the pond yet? Let's go.
We're already into it. Winter's coming.
It's there. It's
and it's already here.
Winter is coming. Yes.
The Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. All right, Heather with the news. Coming up next, the Thursday touchdown. 6 big football questions. An extra point. Will we go for 2? We find out. It's 97.1. We look over to Tom Milliken, who has football questions, and we've got answers.
All right, I love this time of year. Like, this is where we start to really learn what our teams are in both college and the NFL. We've seen enough of a sample size to kind of at least think we know what we're talking about, and then we screw it up again. So let's move forward. Michigan is coming off a bye. is they travel to Champaign to take on the Fighting Illini of Illinois. What is the ceiling for Michigan this year? What needs to happen to deem it an acceptable season?
Well, the ceiling as it stands right now at 4-2 is 8-4. And if they, depending on how they look against Illinois, will give me hope against Indiana. But I don't necessarily know that they are going to compete with Oregon or Ohio State at the end of the season. So I think the ceiling is 8-4.
Acceptable as a playoff spot, which would mean 10-2 or 9-3 with help. But I agree with you, John. 8-4 is how this looks. Yeah. I think 8-4 is their ceiling.
I think successful is playoff. I think acceptable going into this year would have been 9-3. And it looks like, barring them winning a game now that we don't see coming, that it's going to be 8-4. And it could be worse. Again, this thing could fall off a cliff if they lose this game this weekend. All right, Georgia travels to Texas to take on the Longhorns on Saturday. If the Bulldogs lose, will they miss the college football playoff, considering a two-loss Bama has a head-to-head on them?
Well, Bama would need a second loss still, right?
Yeah, but I think we think that's probably coming.
Could be this week with Tennessee. Yeah, I think Georgia would need a third loss to be kicked out. But they do play the Vols and at Ole Miss this season. I don't think a second loss in and of itself eliminates them.
I agree. I think there's, I don't know that there's a world where a two-loss SEC team, especially named Georgia, is not in the college football playoffs. They're going to need that third loss. And I don't know. I don't think it comes against Ole Miss. Maybe Tennessee. But I mean, but a two-loss SEC team is not going to be left out.
All right, this one absolutely baffled me yesterday. I did not know this before yesterday. I wonder if John knew, Cookies and Greg knew. Army and Navy, they're both undefeated. Great story right now. Would love to see them get all the way to the end and be undefeated. They could play their conference championship game before they play their regular season game the second Saturday of December.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
It's wild.
I mean, should Army and Navy, the regular season game, be moved up to week zero to avoid this stupid schedule quirk?
Well, so we've talked about this with Michigan and Ohio State. I think it's more likely to happen for Michigan and Ohio State sometime in the future, not necessarily this year, because of what they historically are in the success of the programs. You have to go back to, 1960, before both of these teams were ranked again. I stop trying to fix everything in college football. As soon as you fix something and you move a game, then all of a sudden something else changes and you've got other problems. Just keep some traditions.
But the oddity of this, it's going to ruin that game.
For one year.
Well, but this would be like Ohio State and Michigan playing the Big Ten championship game they play the game.
Right,
last
I just
game.
Said that. Yeah, likely. But so for 1 year, okay, yeah, you get two Army Navy games at the end of the season. So be it. I'm fine with that because it's not going to happen on a regular basis.
It's a very rare occurrence that they would both be 1-2 in the American Conference. Having said that, I'd love for it to be the week zero kickoff. I'd love for those two teams to get that spotlight in week zero and usher back college football every year.
I love the fact that they have their own day of the year. It is the pomp, the circumstance, everything about it is at the end of the season. I understand all the difficulties of that, but let them have their own day.
Well, John, the other problem is if one of these teams, let's forget about both, if one of them goes undefeated, they'd still have one more game before the college football playoff committee makes their decision. So how do they make the college football playoff if their season is not over when the field needs to be set, which is why you bump the game up and play it?
Yeah,
in
do
August.
You really want the game that's supposed to really matter, the one that's in Philly or D.C. or whatever? The midshipmen are doing load management because they've already clinched their conference championship game.
Well, they never would, but I get your point.
It's like, seriously, load management to the military?
Yeah, for the seamen.
All right. See, he always does it. Well, you know how they're shaking their head.
No,
at least we don't have to go to news.
Yeah,
right
they
now.
Are.
Thank you.
Let's create a plausible scenario. Boise State goes 12-1 and gets the automatic bid from the group of five. Army or Navy goes 13-0, is in the at-large pool, pitted against a team like a 10-2 Texas A&M that has losses against Notre Dame and Texas. Who gets the final at-large bid? The Service Academy or Texas A&M?
Okay, so the reality is the debate would come down to Army or Boise. They'd only take one group of six, but I will play the scenario that you have laid out for us. I would want a 12-0 undefeated Army over Texas A&M. Army would have a common opponent win against Notre Dame, where Texas A&M faltered.
Notre Dame.
And if you're undefeated, you might be the best team in the country. I have to let you keep playing to decide it on the field.
I agree. There's so many weird scenarios when you go down this road, because if the scenario that happens in the question we just answered, where they're undefeated and they both play, you know, in the conference championship game, what happens if you're the winner of that game, you're 12-0, but then you lose the next week to the same opponent, and you've already been inserted into the college football playoffs? I'll take them over anybody else that has a loss, sure.
I think that is one of the things that might be playing out right now this season, is there might be a second, like, non-power team get into the playoff.
I don't...
Because of the weakness of...
I don't think it'll happen.
I don't think it'll happen this year. I think it is going to happen because of the parity that we're seeing in college football with the NIL and the transfer portal.
All right, I've created three trades for the Lions to address the void left by Aiden Hutchinson's injury. Option one, Lions get Hendrickson from the Bengals for a first and fifth rounder. Option two, Lions get Garrett from the Browns for two firsts and a fourth. Option three, Lions get Calais Campbell from the Dolphins for a sixth.
Well, this is easy. You'd be an idiot if you don't take Myles Garrett. It's option two, then one, then three. That's the order, and I think it's very obvious, because if you get Myles Garrett, okay, you're giving up the two firsts and the fifth, but you have him for the next 3 years, along with Aiden Hutchinson. You have the most fearsome edge duo since when? Ever?
John, I'm a lot of things. I am not an idiot. I'm with you. Myles Garrett is the obvious choice. If you could get him for 2 seconds, plug him in multiple years, chase the Super Bowl this year, and then pair him with Hutch, and let Super Bowls
rain upon you. Well,
Garrett
was two firsts and a fourth.
I'm not worried about the fourth.
Okay, but I said first. You had just said seconds. I just want to clarify. Make sure you guys knew that. I'm the opposite of you guys.
I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I'm completely the opposite. I think the best option is the last one. I'm giving up virtually nothing to get a veteran that I can trust that can come in here.
He's 38.
I know he is, and he's got a couple sacks this year. He's a productive player. Look, I'm not trying to replace Aiden Hutchinson, because if you try to do that, you're giving away way too much capital, and you're changing the course of this franchise. I just don't like it.
I think it goes against the course.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Myles Garrett this year, who's number two in
pressures
and pass rush,
versus, that's all fine and dandy when you don't have an offensive line in 2 years, because you don't have your first round picks. See, that's the whole thing here. It's about continuing this thing. I think they can win now, but I guess that's why we differ on this.
I like the fact that Brad Holmes has been able to find guys like Kevin Zeitler, bring back Graham Glasgow to be a part of the best offensive line in the NFL.
All right, the NFC North is the best division in football. There's a chance that all four teams could make the playoffs. Give me a prediction right now on how you think the NFC's playoff seeding is going to pan out.
All right, this is definitely going to be wrong because we still have so much football, but one seed is the Lions. The two seed for me is the Niners. Three, the Atlanta Falcons. Four, the Philadelphia Eagles. My wild card teams are the Vikings, Commanders, and Packers.
So is that pretty much the seven teams that are in right now?
Wait, you said the Vikings,
Commanders and
yeah,
Packers.
But this the question was.
Did I read the question wrong?
No, you didn't.
There's a
I want
all four teams.
Yeah, right.
Make the
I'm using that as a stepping stone.
You don't have to put all four in.
Yeah, you don't have to put all four in. No, I'm asking for the NFC's. Are all four going to make it in your prediction?
I have three in.
Oh, I took it as all four make the playoffs. Oh. What is the seeding?
No.
And so if all four teams do make it, I have the Lions at one. I've got Tampa coming out of the South at two, San Francisco at three, the Commanders at four, and then everybody else in the NFC North. Wow. Green Bay at five, Minnesota at six, and Chicago at seven.
That'd be incredible if they were.
It'd be amazing.
The three wild card teams. All right, the NFL can begin flexing games a Sunday night in Week 5. So they could have flexed the Lions-Vikings game to this Sunday night, replacing Jets-Steelers. Did the NFL screw up by not taking advantage of this fresh storyline?
Oh, absolutely. You're talking about an undefeated Minnesota team that has outperformed anybody's expectations, along with the fact that you've got the best offense in the NFL coming on the heels of the Dallas game. And now without Aiden Hutchinson, put it on primetime and see what happens.
I think there's a huge intrigue factor without Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah. It's two of the five best teams in football. It's division contest. Are the Vikings for real? Can Detroit pick up the pieces? Do I really need to see Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams? Do I really need to see Pittsburgh again in primetime? The Lions are built for primetime and should have been flexed.
I agree.
And that is your Thursday touchdown. It's 97.1. We're going to get to the phones. Some of you guys want to weigh in on the latest report. The Lions have inquired about Hassan Reddick. Might be just due diligence. We've said, hey, if he's going to be here as a mercenary, put his head down and work, be open to it. Don't want to pay him, extend him before he'd play a snap in Detroit. How serious is Brad Holmes taking that possibility? Your reaction to them inquiring. We have ticket text to get to as well, but let's start with the phones. George in Detroit, you're on 97.1.
Hey, Jim, John, how you guys doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good. Hey, so first of all, I love how you guys get Tom and Greg involved in the show. I really think they have a lot to contribute, so that's kudos to you guys. But my thing about Hassan Reddick, and I haven't heard anyone mention, and if they do, I apologize, and I'd be really interested in John's perspective, is there any concern with the amount of time he's held out that he's going to be more susceptible to soft tissue injuries and stuff like that? We've seen that a lot with wide receivers and running backs when they hold out. So, I mean, is this something like, hey, we're getting excited to get a guy that, you know what, it's going to either take him, A, weeks to get involved, to get into shape, or B, when he does get on the field, he's more prone to injury because he has held out and hasn't had football activity in so long. And then my second one real quick, and then I'll hang up and listen, is in careers, you know, you kind of mimic what you saw. And I don't know who the architect was in L.A., but we did see the GM there when they were close and they didn't win it that year. They went all in for Jalen Ramsey. I guess that leaves me encouraged that we could see Brad Holmes say, hey, I built through the draft, but we're close enough to where this is what I'm going to do. So I'll hang up and listen to both those things. But great job, guys. I love listening.
Hey, thanks, George. Appreciate it. In regards to Hassan Reddick being a plug and play, there's always a risk of injury, and there will be an acclimation process. We've seen this coaching staff do it with rookies. We've seen them do it with veterans. Well, we need to see a little bit more. Why aren't we seeing more? Well, they're very measured in how they get guys on the field. Because it's not the only way to get in football shape is to play football. He can be doing sprints, doing drills, doing all the things that I would expect a veteran pro to be doing to be ready as possible. I don't think he's going to be out of shape, but he's not going to be in football shape. So it will take some time, but he could still come in pass rush situations, be a threat. He can, you know, and the thing I don't think he does right away is offer much in the run game.
Right, which is something that they value. You got to be a complete football player. I don't think Brad's giving up a significant pick if he's trading for Hassan Reddick.
No.
I think we're talking, I mean, John, you tell me if I'm out of line here. If you're trading for him with no contract extension, a day three pick?
A fourth? Because you don't have a third. Or
a four
if it's
and a six
a
or something.
Third in 26.
Yeah. He's coming off back-to-back Pro Bowl seasons. He had 16 sacks for the Eagles in 22 when they went to the Super Bowl. He had 11 last year for the Eagles. He also had 11 when he played for Carolina, 12 when he played for Arizona. The guy can get to the quarterback. It's just a question of between the ears right now, because that went south this offseason. When he got traded somewhere, didn't get a contract, was it the Jets who failed to hold up their end of the bargain? Did he fail to hold up his end of the bargain? When your agent drops you, it scares me. And I think a lot of people are looking at him as a bad character. You do your homework, though.
Right.
If it's a day three pick and it's a rental and there's no extension and he can produce, I like that Brad's kicking the tires on something like this.
Yeah, and it's all a he said situation, because you're going to call the Jets and say, okay, the conversations, what did you have with the Eagles? What did you have with the representation? Because you call the former agent, why did you drop him? What was the conversation? Why was this trade consummated between the Eagles and the Jets? Was there a promise of a new contract? Right. Is the holdout
somewhat justified? Right.
And those answers, you may get turned off right away and say, you know what? No thanks.
Done. Move on.
And now, but if they are justified, then you go a little bit further. And then you start talking to former teammates, former position coaches, former head coaches. What type of player is he? Because everything I've heard about him as a player before this situation, even though he's been on three teams in, 3 years, is that he is a good teammate.
Were you ever asked to give like character assessment of teammates when you were playing?
At times, but it was more your own coaches were asking about guys that you would when they would come in free agency and you'd take them around, show them a facility. You're basically a glorified recruiter at that point. But I would be asked, okay, what was his personality like? Do you think he would fit with your offensive line? Do you think he would fit with this team? And then you give your honest assessment.
Yeah. Let's get to Kevin in Macomb. Kevin, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, look, just listening to that that football thing you guys were just doing, that little blitz. I couldn't agree more with John, and I couldn't disagree anymore with Gov. It's like if you go after a guy like Calais Campbell, you're basically signing like a Marcus Davenport. Actually, probably like a lesser version of Marcus Davenport, because Calais Campbell, like 4 years ago, I'd want him. But it's like this guy is just – he's not – it's not going to be an every-down guy. And I just feel, we have – I feel like a lot of people forget that Brad Holmes – we finally have a GM who can actually, who's competent and can find the guys outside of the first round. That's a big deal. And that one caller alluded to going after Jalen Ramsey. I just feel the times now, you can go after a guy like Myles Garrett where you know what you're getting every play. He's 28. Hassan Reddick's 30. And his team was already like competing in the Jets. And he didn't want to play for them. And I just feel when you're signing a guy like Myles Garrett, you're investing in Hutchinson as well. Because Hutchinson's getting doubled and tripled every play. You got to remember that.
It'd be an elite
and
pair of bookend ends. Yeah.
I don't want to rush Hutchinson back either. So that means you'll have Hutchinson next year, and you'll have him alongside Myles Garrett. And at the end of the day, it's your defense's front four versus the other team's front five. And if our front four are better, we're going to have a much better chance to make our defense and have a ripple effect throughout our defense. I just feel it's a no-brainer to go after Myles Garrett. That caller said, going after Jalen Ramsey.
Yep.
I mean, now's the time. I trust Brad Holmes, but he's got to do something because I don't want to hear like that we have another first-round exit or second-round exit because we don't have a pass rusher or we have an injury-prone pass rusher.
Well, Kevin, thanks. I don't think Calais Campbell is injury prone. And to think that Marcus Davenport is anywhere on the same bus as Calais Campbell to me is ridiculous. I would take Calais Campbell over Marcus Davenport any day of the week and twice on Sundays. There's no question about that. Is he much older? Sure. There are unicorns that can play a lot longer at a much higher level and be really healthy.
I agree, and I think that was he kind of overstated to sell his point. Look, I get why people want Garrett. It's sexy. It's flashy. He's a great player, and this would be ridiculous. It would.
Yeah.
I don't think – we're going to do Red Wing Factor Fiction coming up here in a few minutes. I'm going to do a Lion Factor Fiction here right now. I don't believe Brad Holmes as Lions GM will ever trade two first-round picks in one trade. I don't.
There's only a handful of guys in the whole league to justify it.
No. You're missing the guys thing. The guy is Brad Holmes. Brad Holmes is never going to trade two first-round picks in one trade. He never will.
Okay, but my argument would be there are some guys who it's justifiable for. And I think you got to be very careful trying to win three Super Bowls before you've won one Super Bowl.
I get the
idea here is we're going to have these firsts and they're all going to turn into all pros and we're going to keep this thing going for a decade. You can't win three Super Bowls until you win one Super Bowl. And you got to be very careful trying to put longevity ahead of the opportunity, which is staring you in the face
now. But you also have to be careful, too, that more times than not, when you make a Jalen Ramsey-type trade, it doesn't work.
You only win one Super Bowl.
Well,
did you hear what I just said? Most times, Jim, when you make these splash moves in sports, it doesn't work.
Okay, let's just say they don't make that move and they miss the opportunity this year for a Super Bowl. Aiden Hutchinson's back next year. They make some draft picks. But then what happens next year if Jared Goff gets hurt next year?
Like, Johnson leaves.
And this is what Dan Campbell was talking about at the end of the year last year. It's really hard to get back there.
What if you trade for Myles Garrett right now and Jared Goff gets hurt after the deadline? We can play the what ifs all you want.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that's why it's so hard. If you want to win a Super Bowl, there are times where you've got to get outside your comfort zone, outside of what your personality says you would do. We have no reason to believe that Brad Holmes would make this trade. No reason to believe it until it happens.
We got Red Wing Fact or Fiction coming up next. We'll do this rapid fire. We have not talked much about our hockey team. Baseball kind of got in the way. They're underway on the ice. We'll get to it next. 97.1.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.